This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Gordon Walker with the Jefferson Area Board for Aging joins us in studio. It is a pleasure to have you in here, really.
Well, thanks for having me, Coy.
Absolutely. We've got a lot that we want to get to in this half hour. And, of course, if anybody at any point wants to join the conversation, you know the drill, 977-1070. Let's start first with a Gordon Walker 101. You're the type of person that a lot of people see around town. Oh, that's Gordon Walker. But who is Gordon Walker? I mean, where are you from and what brought you to Charlottesville?
Well, Gordon Walker is somebody that's aging just like everybody else in this community. I came here in 1981. Was looking for something that was Vermont-like, but not with the Vermont winters, having spent quite a long time in Vermont. Having an aging background and a position to open up at JABA in 82, I was fortunately hired for that position and have been there 25 years now. And like to think that, you know, the efforts our organization has made within this community is making it a better place for people to age of all generations. Something we believe in very much is that if you do right by the aged within our community, other ages will benefit from it. So that's been kind of my mantra all along. And so as a result, I've also been on the Albemarle School Board and trying to promote not just good schools, but also to think about schools as community learning centers where people from all ages take a benefit of that as a public asset. So I know a lot of people tend to, when they see me coming, think of growing old. I'm not sure that's a compliment or not, but on the other, I'd like to think that I'm also advocating for other generations as well.
And tell us, what exactly is the Jefferson Area Board for Aging? What is JABA?
Well, JABA was created in 1975 by the six governments within this planning district, and with the intent of providing services for an older population and for families that provide care to them, and also planning for the future, a recognition on the part of local governments that the aged are coming and we need to prepare for it. And but we also, so our primary focus is on serving people of low to moderate income, but we also take what I refer to as a Robin Hood approach to what we do, in that we provide services to people regardless of their financial situation, because we recognize that aging is a great common denominator, and a lot of the issues associated with aging affect everybody the same. It's just your capacity to be able to deal with them is somewhat different.
Give us an idea of some of the programs that y'all do that folks in the community might or might not be familiar with.
Okay, well, it ranges from general information. For example, when the new Medicare prescription drug plan became available, we counseled 2,500 people in a period of 3 months on what type of prescription drug plan to purchase. We always are giving out information to people about what type of senior housing is available, where there's a home care agency, a nursing home they can access, and so on. But we also provide services. We do adult day health care. We own 330 apartments providing senior housing to people. Home care, home delivered meals, contract with Jaunt to provide transportation services to people. So across the what we refer to as a continuum of care, depending upon where people find themselves. But what we're experiencing more and more, Coy, is that more calls come in during the day from adult children than actually from older people themselves, because adult children trying to help their parents deal with some of the challenges aging can present.
And who's prepared for that? You know, when you're 45, 50, 55 years old and you have an aging parent, it's not like you went to school and they told you what to do and what services are. You just pick up the phone and call JABA, I guess.
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, the fact that we don't live in extended families any longer, for the most part, a lot of people don't experience firsthand the care of an older person within the home for a good part of their life. So when it becomes something that they have to deal with, there's an inexperience there. And it's like so many issues associated with aging, we bury our head in the sand about it, whether it's our own aging or what's happening with our family or what's happening within our community. And so we try to embrace the idea that aging can be okay, that actually there are aspects of aging that are to the benefit of the individual, the community, and of the family. So we need to break it out of the closet, so to speak, talk about it more, have families recognize the fact that you are going to be dealing with it at some point. So have family discussions around this. But you're right. We don't talk about it in the schools adequately, and people are often ill-prepared when the challenge presents itself.
Gordon Walker of JAVA is my guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Let's talk about the fact that over the next couple of decades, the Central Virginia area is expected to see an increase in the senior citizen population of 107%. And that is an incredible demographic change that we are going to be facing. And this is really a national scenario here, because we're talking about the aging of the baby boomer population. And we're going to see that here, especially because Charlottesville, obviously, we all know, is a ideal place to retire. So let's explore this idea first, this change, and then what kind of impact that we will see here in our community because of it.
Well, it's a very good question to pose, is that the reason for the increase is really twofold. It's one, people just aging in place. I mean, we're all getting older and we want to stay in Charlottesville. So most of the growth in the older population will be homegrown, so to speak. But you're also correct in saying that because of the appeal this area has for migrating retirees, that it does have kind of retirement mecca identity given to it. And so people do want to relocate here. And they do it for different reasons. It's really interesting. One thing we found in the last 10 to 15 years, one of the reasons a lot of people relocate here is because of its proximity to the Blue Ridge Mountains. And when they were in the military and going through World War II and being discharged from the military, the Blue Ridge Mountains is where they spent a lot of their vacation time. So you'll see a lot of communities along the Blue Ridge Mountains, whether it's Asheville or Charlottesville. Roanoke is becoming increasingly, Lexington, et cetera, is a very popular area. And they will grow at a faster rate than the nation as a whole. Obviously, UVA's medical center plays a role. Proximity to the University of Virginia, the moderate climate, which seems to be getting warmer. but what brings people here more than anything else is their adult children, recognizing that to assist their parents, to be around their parents, means bring them closer to home. And so one of the most gravitating influences is really younger people saying, hey, why don't you relocate here, bring your parents here. And what impact it's going to have, it's hard to think of really any niche. Even a pediatrics office, a pediatrician's office is affected because there's more and more grandparents taking care of kids, grandparents taking kids to the doctor's office because either one parent or both parents are working, or in many cases, grandparents are the sole parent, let's say, for children. Whether you're talking about land use, transportation, good example is if we're going to provide senior housing, and we need to provide more of it that is adaptable, is accessible, allows people to age in place, we shouldn't be isolating that population. We need to make sure it's within neighborhoods and have it near doctor's offices and shopping and so forth, if for no other reason than perhaps to have people driving less when they're older, which maybe everybody benefits from.
I'd like that.
I think there's a lot of people that might like that, including, you know, the point is that a lot of people will hang on to their car and their driver's license beyond what they think is a reasonable amount of time just because they have no alternative. And we don't have the kind of infilling development of senior-friendly housing that we need to have. Albeit, I am pleased to see that more and more developers are coming to our doorstep and looking for opportunities for us to either advise them on what type of housing to do or actually looking to partnering. JABA, as I said, has a lot of affordable housing. We need to build more of it, but we're also looking to build market rate housing and doing it in partnerships with private developers who see this senior market growing and recognize the importance to them from a business perspective to cater to that market.
Yeah, and we saw that recently, the news in the progress regarding changes at Westminster Canterbury. They're tearing down little cottages that were built years ago, and they're building bigger, you know, 2,500 square foot home, two-car garages, because when people retire, they don't necessarily want to go right into a little tiny cottage. They still want their space. They want their garage.
And the fact that, you know, Westminster Canterbury and other retirement communities are seeing a more active senior come to their doorstep, and they want to make available amenities to them.
Have you seen that in your years, since the early 80s? Have you totally seen a change in the aging population, senior citizen population, that becoming more and more active? And what does that mean?
Well, what we do know is each, try to use a sociologist's term, age cohort, or every generation of older people comes in with different values, different experiences, different opportunities and skills. And the generation that's retiring now, and certainly when the boomers begin to retire, although they're not going to retire as quickly as they thought for economic reasons, everything's showing that boomers are now recognizing they're going to have to work longer than they ever thought. But it's a more educated, it's a better financially well-off population and so forth. So they may have more discretionary, more expendable money to spend on goods and services. So it's, you know, the generation that went through the Depression, that went through World War II, is a very different generation than the generation that's going to be retiring over the next 5 or 10 years. So people that are already in the business of the maturing marketplace recognize they've got to cater to that new generation. And then there's there's businesses in this community who have probably looked to the student population as their salvation, or beginning to see that, you know, where the money is, and the money more and more is in the hands of senior citizens. And so it's what type of adjustments do they make, both in their business place, but also in their products, in order to capitalize on that?
My guest is Gordon Walker from the Jefferson Area Board for the Aging. 977-1070 is the phone number if you've got a question. Tell us more about when you look into your crystal ball, what we're going to see here in Charlottesville 2010, 2020, throughout Central Virginia, as we see this increasingly older population, older boomers. So as you point out, they're going to be working, a lot of them. They're going to be active. They're not necessarily health permitting, just going to be sitting at home watching TV on a Tuesday night.
Well, one of the things I think we're going to see, and JAB is going to be doing a conference on this on October 19th, is what we refer to as intentional communities. It's how do you go about designing opportunities for people to live their later years that are non-traditional. Whether you're talking about co-housing, whether you're talking about how you take a neighborhood and create it so it's senior friendly, and there's various kinds of products that are coming out in the market elsewhere nationally, and we want to bring some of those ideas to Charlottesville for people to think a little bit differently. So I think you're going to see different type of quote-unquote retirement communities, which will be more active than perhaps current options provide. I think we're going to see a lot more people with graying hair volunteering in our community, in the schools. One very active program we have is we have 45 volunteers that are working with at-risk kids in 14 schools. And so you say if we look at the aging of the population as an asset rather than a liability, and we say, okay, here's some community concerns or issues, how do we take this pool, this resource pool that has perhaps more time on its hand and has a lot of experience and skills, and put it to use resolving community issues? And I think that's one significant change you're going to see.
That's actually an exciting change when I think of the schools and the future of the schools, that we would see more of the aged population volunteering in the schools. I think that's great.
Well, it's good to hear you say that. I think, you know, sadly, the United States doesn't show adequate respect for its elders as other countries do. And I think to the extent that we value elderhood as a benefit to community, once we accept that, then we start to look at multiple ways to engage them more in the community. And I think the community across the board benefits from that.
We're talking with Gordon Walker of JABA, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on with Gordon Walker. Go right ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm Malcolm Finley. I talked with Bolin.
Yes.
About the gas tax.
Yes.
And he said send him an email with some information.
Yes, sir.
But he said it so fast, I was just calling to get that email address.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold and have somebody get that for you. Just 1 minute.
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to do. Thank you.
Not a problem at all. Be happy to help you. Let's see. Malcolm is on line one, and he needs Bill Bowling's email address. So that's at billbowling.com. Great. Thank you very much for taking care of that. How do you think this might change? We're talking about the elderly population volunteering in the schools, mm-hmm. but are we going to see less kids that need to be educated?
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you take a look at where the growth is going to occur, it's going to be much more in an older population than the younger population. But having been on the school board, I recognize that, you know, some of the requirements to provide the right type of education for kids, to make sure, one, we can compete in the world economy, but secondly, address the issues of a lot of kids that have special needs, you need more square footage in schools to do it. So it's hard to just say, well, the student population is growing, consequently, we don't need more school space. That's not the case. But But that's why I advocate as well for the schools to open up their doors to the community. So if you're doing it an expansion at Albemarle High School, for example, one of the things we're promoting is that might be a perfect location to provide opportunities for seniors to come there and offer classes for the kids. And you take somebody that's been an ambassador to some country, have them come and teach the history or culture of that country. Somebody who's been a scientist, come in and teach math, teach science. I mean, we talk about the
or fact. A veteran, Vietnam, come in and talk about, well, this is where I served, and this is what happened. You know, you've been studying it in your history room. Well, now I'm going to tell you I was there.
Yeah, and that kind of personal presentation of it's going to hold a lot more meaning than flipping through pages of a book.
Oh, gosh, yes. So, yeah. We could be talking about, you know, a revolution in our public schools if we really embrace this.
Well, I totally concur with that, but you've got to embrace it. You've got to say that how do we go about creating environmental conditions or sites, settings, let's say, to bring generations together rather than separating generations?
And that's really what we've done, and we've done it well, haven't we? Separate them.
Sadly, we have. I mean, we've isolated people as a result of special interest needs, whatever it might be, rather than figure out ways to bring people together and cultivating neighborhood. One of the things, you know, we all hearken back to in a while away, and Coy, you're too young to remember the Leave It to Beaver and all that other kind of stuff. But it's those kind of neighborhoods. You look at the neighborhoods that seem to be the most popular now with people in their 20s and 30s who have enough money for home ownership. They're really trying to go back to the communities people my age grew up with. And where you did tend to see, you know, a person 60 or 70 years old on talking to a younger person and sharing experiences and ideas and opportunities and teaching them things.
I'll tell you, years ago when I was working on the corner book that I wrote about the history of UVA in Charlottesville, for years I would go to a lot of these retirement communities and interview some of these older folks who either owned a business at the corner or went to UVA. And Gordon, I can't tell you how many times I went into somebody's home and sat at a kitchen table or went to Westminster Canterbury, and how many times I found somebody in their 80s or 90s just sitting there all by themselves, hadn't had a conversation in days, and they just were so appreciative of the fact that I showed up and said, you know, tell me a story, tell me, and turn on my tape recorder, tell me what life was like at UVA in the 30s or something. And I just met person after person who was I don't want to say lonely, but they were alone, and there's so many of them right here in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that's a very good distinction, a difference between being lonely and being alone. And 40% of people over the age of 65 who are women live alone. And so how do we capture their life experiences and create value out of that? And you did it through the publication of your book. And so one of the ways we do this is obviously creating opportunities for them to interact with younger generations. So, you know, our volunteer program is one way to do that, but there's multiple other ways in which it can occur.
And you are online at jobba.org, is that it?
Yeah, jobbacares.org.
Jobbacares.org. Gordon Walker of the Jefferson Area Board for the Aging. I could go another 2 hours. I really enjoyed this, and thank you so much for coming in.
Well, hopefully we can do it again, Coy.
Absolutely. I would look forward to that.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.